Our First Testament lesson comes from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 31 through 40. You can follow along on page 261 of your pew Bible. Listen for the word of the Lord. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fall because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "The Lord, who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I am not used to them." So David removed them. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to Philistine. The word of the Lord.
Our second reading today is from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 21 through 25. This picks up right where we left off last week. So for anyone that maybe wasn't here, Saul has had his experience on the road to Damascus, and Ananias has come up, laid his hands, called him Brother Saul, and Saul now has vision and is immediately proclaimed that Jesus is the Son of God. And now we pick up. All who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem among those who invoked his name? And has he not come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" Saul became increasingly more powerful and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving Jesus was the Messiah. After some time had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul, who I remind you is we know as Paul. They were watching the gates day and night so that they might kill him, but his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. This is the word of the Lord. So we are in week 2 of our sermon series, The Spirit at Work, and this week our topic is courage. So of course the first thing I do is find the dictionary and look up what's the definition of courage. And according to Merriam-Webster, which seemed to be in accordance with most of the more recognized dictionaries, this is what it says. Courage is mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Well, the story of David's battle with Goliath certainly demonstrates courage. Here we have this young man who has been guiding sheep, and he's now daring to face this huge Philistine giant using a slingshot and 5 smooth stones. And we know how the story ends. David flung a stone at Goliath's forehead. He fell to the ground. and David killed him. We all like to hear stories of the unlikely hero, the underdog. We love to hear of their triumph. And the story of David and Goliath is one of the best known, most told stories in the Bible, where the seeming underdog comes out on top. But this celebrated story is also one of the most misunderstood. Many think that this is a story about personal courage in the face of insurmountable odds, that if you face down the giant with courage, you will always come out victorious. But there is a lot more to this story. There's a reason that our scripture reading today ends before the battle. David's courage is exhibited not in killing the giant, but in fighting him. David did not have great military experience, but he demonstrates that courage and power have other sources, namely Yahweh. What drove David's courage was his confidence in God's promises and God's power to fulfill them. He was not so much confident in himself as he was confident in God. So how does this dramatic story correlate with the reading from the New Testament of Paul being lowered in a basket to escape capture and death? For Paul himself wrote in his letter to the church in Corinth that this experience of being lowered in a basket at night was humiliating. But I say Paul exhibits courage before, during, and after his escape. Paul is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, role reversals in the Bible. Other than Jesus, no person influenced the history of the Christian community more than Paul. But no wonder people were confused. This man had always fought for the importance of the law, and he would punish any who disagreed and even put them in placement to where they may be killed. And he especially was going after the followers of Jesus. Yet after his conversion, this Pharisee of Pharisees immediately went out to proclaim Jesus as the Son of God. And those who conspired to kill Jesus, who conspired to kill Stephen, and those under King Aretas are now after Paul. So the persecutor is now the persecuted. And while he may consider being lowered in a basket humiliating and a sign of weakness, it was an act of courage to proclaim the good news. It was an act of courage to face the dangerous unknown by traveling around and continuing to do so. And as his opposition increased their attack, Saul became more powerful. The Greek word used for powerful in the New Testament denotes strength from the work of the Holy Spirit. Again, strength from the work of the Holy Spirit. And we call this strength courage. There is a great difference between courage and bravado, and we sometimes confuse the two. Bravado is daring, audacious, uninspired boldness. Many of you know that I used to skydive. And yes, it took daring boldness to do so. But there was nothing inspired about it. I just really wanted to do it. It was an act of bravado, although my parents probably had a different word in mind. Courage, on the other hand, it's not autonomous. It is not a self-produced virtue. Courage is produced by faith. Faith in God or something else. I want to turn again to the definition of courage. Mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. We usually think of danger as a threat to our physical safety, and we often think of courage in the most dramatic of situations. Soldiers on the battlefield, firefighters, first responders, these are people of extreme courage for sure. And I think every single one of us is grateful for their service. Most of us, gratefully, will not experience this type of challenge. But we are put in situations where our spiritual strength, our physical health, our moral fiber, and our choices are challenged. And courage, by very definition, acknowledges fear and difficulty. Yet we are to withstand it and persevere. In the King James Version of the Bible, people who count such things have counted that the words fear not appear 365 times. That's one for each day. This in itself demonstrates that although God does not want us to fear and does not wish us to be afraid, we humans experience fear. And the words courage or courageous appear 26 times, which also stress the importance. So where does courage, real courage, not bravado, where does courage come from? It is the work of the Holy Spirit. Courage is the work of the Holy Spirit. It comes from trust in the ultimate goodness and presence of God. And in this trust, we allow ourselves to be vulnerable. For real courage recognizes that we cannot persevere in our challenges alone. We need God. We need God who is right here with us. The call for God's people to be courageous is always based on the confidence that God is with us. Courage does not mean that things will always turn out the way we hope. Courage is facing the challenge even when we aren't assured of the outcome. Every act of courage takes place in the life of an ordinary person. Courage is needed to fight life's everyday battles. Addiction, cancer, resentment, greed. Each of us has many battles to fight in our life. We need courage, and we need each other to do so. Last week, Pastor John spoke of being called to community by God for the purpose of blessing the world. That takes courage, and we can and we should be God's instruments to encourage one another. Being in community helps strengthen our faith, build our courage, and allow the Holy Spirit to do her work even better. Having courage doesn't always have to do with fighting a giant or being persecuted, but it always has to do with trusting God. Whatever battle we are fighting, the Holy Spirit will give us the courage if we but trust. And so the challenge for this week is to ask ourselves, am I exhibiting courage in whatever battle I'm fighting? Am I trusting in the love and the promises of God no matter what the outcome? And am I allowing the Holy Spirit to use me to encourage others? Let us pray. Triune God, we give you thanks that your Spirit is more powerful than our fear. Guide us to trust your promises and use us to encourage others. Amen.